Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes!
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing high.
Edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Taste like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Fritzy, we just win series. That's all they do. They never lose series anymore. Who knew when he got the job, Don Mattingly roused him, gave a speech and said, I need you guys. I need energy. I need fight. And here we are. Who knew, buddy? How about it? What a throw. That was really cool, and we'll get into it. But that report, the Marsh, you know, Steve Gelb's on the SMY, like, that's so awesome, Jack. And it's something we wondered, like, how did he kind of address this? Now he kind of grabbed the team. That was a really neat thing to hear after all this time.
It's the gravitas of having Don Mattingly as your manager.
Totally, dude.
Like, that's the biggest difference. And it's the nice part about having an outsider that gets fresh eyes in this thing and just came from a team that was in the World Series, kind of saying, well, this isn't right. This is not how things should be done. And I do like the idea of, I don't care what your name is, how much you get paid, all that stuff. Like, we are a unit here. And that's what we do.
Wanted guys to show energy. How many times have we talked about that? Like, we've gone through show. They don't look like they're having any fun. Like, it looks like it's a grind. Doesn't look like we always want that. We always talk about great teams look like they're having fun when they're doing it. They're celebrating together. They're doing some sort of homer celebrate. Like, that's what the great teams in seasons always seem to have. And especially during the start of the year, they just felt lifeless.
Yeah.
I love it, man.
Yeah, no, it's big stuff. And then, yes, it took 2 of 3. Yesterday was maybe the most lost win of all time.
Unbelievable, dude.
It was like, not only did Lizardo in the fourth and fifth just have to grit and grind his way through just some brutal
situations.
They all
did. I mean, Kirkring didn't have it. Duran did. They just got through it, man. Even the Schwarber homer was like a pop out. And it's just like one of those that he has where it just like keep going and going and going. It's crazy, man.
Well, and it was wild because I felt like all weekend there was like maybe 6 balls off the bat that I was like, that's gone. And then it would just die in right field.
Totally, dude.
So that's why I was surprised that Schwarber's went out. But it did, thankfully so, because that
was just stronger. It's just crazy, man. He is just stronger.
Yes. So he was, Kirkring, the Ronnie Mauricio swinging at a 1-0 pitch for no reason. We should give that guy a gift basket. What a hero. Because that was certainly trending towards, Kirkring couldn't have had it any less, actually, I don't think. So, it felt like a loss. They were able to scratch a claw and find their way through it. And ultimately, hey, that was a place they lost. I didn't realize it got to 10 straight losses up
there.
Dude,
I said that to Emily. When they won that first game and it flashed that thing, you know, and I said to Emily, I'm like, 10 straight? No way it's been 10 straight. Yeah, like, we knew they had the bad stretch, but 10 straight, that's over 2 years. They lost for a full year there. Like, that's crazy.
And they had to have included the postseason as well, because obviously they did not win a game up there.
Yeah, so, thanks for that.
So, I mean, they were 8-22 in their last 30 heading into games at Citi Field, and then they lost their last 10. So at least maybe we ridded ourselves of the kind of curse up there. But man,
well, at least we won't be going there for the playoffs this year. So that's nice.
Dude, they stink.
They stink. And they have bad vibes. Like, everything about that team is just off, man. And also the line, I mean, it's, and I know injuries and stuff, but like, you look at that lineup and you $500 million. It's, there are guys in that lineup I never heard of before, Jack. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, so there are a lot of bad baseball players in Major League Baseball. I think Brett Beatty might be the worst. How he still is getting shots at the big league level is crazy.
It's because he was a prospect. That was it. That's the only reason.
That dude stinks, man. Like, he stinks. And the fact that they walked him three times yesterday. Like, if I'm Caleb Cotham, I'm walking out to the mound and say, you're going to run this entire stadium for, I don't care how long it takes, if you walk Brett Beatty one more time. Like, we need a little huddle up session with the pitchers and say, that dude stinks. But, like, Beatty never taken a step forward. Francisco Alvarez has never. At one point, he was the number one prospect in baseball, right? I'm not crazy.
I never know if he got to one, but he was, like, top four, top three, top five, like, somewhere in there. Like, he might have gotten to one, but he was legit.
Now, I do think they have two players in Carson Benge and A.J. Ewing. I think that those guys are.
I like A.J. Ewing a lot. I think that dude's good, yeah.
Benge has that, like, really. He's kind of what you wish Stott was, with the big loopy swing that does. He actually looks like he's legitimately swinging a pool noodle, but it gets some hits out of it. So, yeah, those two are good. And the annoying part about those two is that they don't have the Nimmo annoyance factor. They're just solid players that I like. Like, I don't mind those guys. But yeah, dude, they feel just about as lost of a team as they got rid of Mets. They got rid of Mets.
All the Mets, like, their dudes, like Nimmo, Alonso, and McNeil, arguably were like the trio of Mets. You know, it's crazy.
And they just try to rebuild a culture on the fly. I mean, I don't know, Lindor's been there for a little while, but it just really feels like that they are a bit rudderless. And they waited way too long to fire Carlos Mendoza. The fact that the Phillies won 2 of 3 after a new manager.
Unbelievable, dude.
That never happens. Easily, when they fired him, I was like, well, here's a serious loss up in New York that we're going to be furious about on Monday. And they just won. And if Gabriel Rincones wasn't in right field on Saturday, maybe they win that game too.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and it is crazy too. I mean, like Juan Soto is a wonderful baseball player, but man, like, it feels off with him. It feels off with him up there. I mean, he doesn't run out. Like, you want to talk about not running stuff out. He is, like, some of them are egregious. Some of them, it's like, man, like, you would be buried in Philadelphia if you did that. And, like, there is something. And again, I think you can win with him. He has won a World Series. He's been a great player. But there is something off with him right now in New York and with the vibes and all that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he is someone who he feels very just like, if you're expecting Juan Soto to be your leader, like, that's not going to happen. He is
he's going to hit. He'll freaking hit, man. It doesn't matter. He'll hit.
If you just have your expectation of Juan's going to show up, he's going to hit 35 to 40 home runs, walk a million times, play bad out.
315 or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Like, literally just show up and do that and everything's fine. But if you're expecting him to be the big leader guy, I mean, it should be Lindor. But, like, again, even Lindor, if you follow Mets fans, like, they seem sick of the guy. Which
they do, which is crazy. He seems so likable.
I know. But.
And he's got big moments for them. I know they haven't won at all, but, like, that homer against us was massive. He was, like, the heart of that run they had.
I know.
It's surprising, man. And I know he hasn't been good this year, and he got hurt, and he is, like, paid a lot of money. But it's surprising.
It is. So they feel dead. The pitching staff's horrendous. They keep bringing up random. It was annoying watching Zach Thornton just shut them down because of course he did, you know. But I don't know. That Mets team certainly feels pretty dead. But and I wonder if they're going to move on from Stearns. I don't think they will. I think
it would be wild.
I think that they are 10 toes down on David Stearns. At least Steve Cohen is, and he'll give them every opportunity to figure this thing out. But man, I thought this was going to be a Phillies Mets kind of chase down for the division, and now it's Phillies Braves. And by the way,
three games back.
I'm actually getting to the point where I'm worried about winning the division by too much.
Yeah, like, dude.
I want this thing to slow down.
If I had to bet, and again, I think it's going to be close, but if I had to bet my life today, I would bet on the Phillies winning the division. I would.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're a better team than the Braves right now, and I think they are built better.
Yeah, I think the Braves are falling a little bit on. Well, there's always going to be a regression.
The injuries are killing them, too. To be fair, the injuries have hurt the Braves.
Well, that's just another year. But
yeah, if you're right. It is unbelievable. You're right. Yeah. That's a great point. Yeah.
But there's a little regression to the mean happening with the Braves. I mean, they were playing at an insanely hot pace that heading into the year did not suggest that they were going to be able to do. So, yeah, no, this is – I would like for it to stay close. I'm not saying I hope the Phillies, you know, fall to five games back. But I want this to be – I want them playing as
meaningful baseball.
Competitive baseball as they can. I would love the I now want the third division.
Yeah, I don't want the buy. I was gonna say that to you. I was like, I don't want to buy. I really don't. I know that, like, I'm fine with it if they get it, but I'm sorry, we've seen them not get a buy twice and go further in the playoffs and get a buy twice and lose immediately. Like, I feel that.
And I don't think they know how to handle the bye week. Not like they're out, you know, partying all the time. I just think that, like, last year they tried some different things, the year before they tried some different things, and they just can't. They can't get it going. I think the one aspect of the team that's hurt the most is the bullpen. Bullpen has been really good the last 100%. Few years, and then falling apart in October. So, you know, those guys having time off of not being in real adrenaline pumping situations, I think that hurts them. Now, at the same time, we are currently watching the bullpen, and I tell you what, James, there's about one guy that I trust. And
yeah, Joan Duran. That's it. It is. I want to get to Derek Hill and some of this stuff, but quickly, because you mentioned the pen, I might have gotten to the point, and I'm not 100% sure I would, if you could only have one and obviously have multiple needs, I'm not 100% sure I'd take a relief pitcher over a hitter, but I might, that's where I'm getting to in terms of how desperate this bullpen need feels and how, like, we know they need a hitter, but, like, I think, you know, you hope they get hot. They have guys who could get hot. I don't think this bullpen right now is good enough to get it done. Like, full stop.
Yeah. I'm still definitely in the hitter mindset, but I hear you. The good part is they're going to get both.
Yeah, get both. Yeah, what a thought.
They can't. Like, they probably won't survive. And, you know, you look at where they are right now, you know, Kirkering had one good outing this week out of three. Yesterday was not a good outing. I don't care that he held the lead. That was same. A horrendous outing. Bolin has had a bad week. Alvarado, every time, if he works a clean inning,
you just can't trust him. You just can't trust him.
It's a minor miracle. Backus has come back and not been good at all. So, you know, Meza, you know what he is. He's perfectly fine as your third lefty / opener guy. Awesome. Everyone, like, I know, like, Brad Keller could be one of their deadline acquisitions, I guess, if you want to throw that out, but he has not been good this year either. So, yeah, no, bullpen is now at the forefront. It's jump starting pitching for sure. At least Nola can just be serviceable. You feel fine about it. But yeah, finding someone, the problem is, like, a lot of the teams, there's just not many guys out there. I mean,
well, and also, Jack, real quick, in the market, there are, like, way more teams in the National League competing than I. There's only, like, five teams under 500 in the National League. And so, like, and in the American League, it's so weird with only two teams above, whatever, four teams above 500 and the Guardians, whatever, right above it. Like, it's a weird market. It is going to be a seller's market is what I'm trying to say because of how many teams are still in it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, there's actually two guys this weekend that caught my eye a little bit. Dude, I need Brazoban on this.
I would take Brazoban in a second.
I feel like when he was even on the Marlins and with the Mets, he pitched every single game. It just, like, that guy must have the most rubber arm in America. It's unbelievable. He is always pitching. And this year he's been insane. I mean, he's got, what, a 1.94? Did you know he's 36, by the way?
No, is he really?
Yeah.
Dude, I think it's like 32, 33. Wow.
Yeah, I thought he was early 30s, 36. Yeah, but yeah, wow. So Brazoban, and then now Luke Weaver's on the same deal as Brad Keller.
Your guy. You back in on Luke Weaver? You back?
Always back.
Because you left him for a minute. You're back. Okay, good.
I always did. I was dipping my toe out of the Luke Weaver market.
Good.
But I'm right at the cannonball back in. But Brazoban, and actually Brooks Raley, I would like. Sure. Raley, I would like a little bit too. It's like not a lefty that's going to cost a lot, but someone who's pretty reliable and has been around forever. Reminds me of... Remember when they traded for Aaron Loop?
Of course. Yeah, from the Blue Jays. Yeah, of course. Forget.
And then I think he went to the Mets and had like a 1-something ERA.
He was great with the Mets. Yeah, stunk.
Horrendous year. Yeah. Horrendous year. So, no, the bullpen is certainly a big deal. If Chapman's the one that, you know, is really interesting. He blew that save last night, but like William,
that was not his fault. Did you watch it?
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, one of the worst throws you'll ever see. I mean, Willie Abreu just sails it over the cutoff, man. That scored a run. And then the other run, like it was a run on third play at the plate, and he beat it. Like, that was not Aroldis Chapman's fault at all. Like, yeah. He gave up a hit, but it was like, come on, man.
You know? Still in. And it's so funny.
How about real quick, Sonny Gray, like 7 no-hit innings. By the way, do you see that fact about him? What a wild one. He got his 2,000th strikeout in his 2,000th inning pitch.
Oh, wow.
First person in baseball history to ever do that.
That's nice symmetry.
Yeah.
Symmetry. That's like how Harper and Schwarber are going to hit 400 in the same game.
I know.
And Schwarber is going to be for 61, which is insane. Awesome. What if they both end at 399? I mean, that'd be a bit of a buzz.
But it would be really exciting for next year.
Yeah. Opening day. They would certainly sell some tickets. But yeah, no. Schwarber, if he hit 61, he will hit 61 and 400 in the same home run, which is pretty dope.
Well, and the thing with Schwarber, and I was talking about this with Emily over the weekend, like, I mean, the stat was going around, and by the end of this season, you know, assuming it's 4 more home runs, he will end up having to second to Babe Ruth in baseball history with most home runs in his first 5 seasons with the team. He will pass Mark McGwire with the Cardinals. We all remember what that was. You think so? Isn't he like,
he's only 18 behind.
I thought he was like 30 behind. He's 18. So he might pass through. So, okay. I didn't realize he's that close. So either way, so he has a chance to have the most. The point being that first and foremost, he's turning himself into a Hall of Famer potentially, but also like he is not just one of the great Phillies home runs hitters we've ever seen. I mean, he's, you know, it's him, Howard, Tommy Schmidt in our lifetime. He is one of the great home run hitters of our lifetime, Jack, in terms of you know, and especially in terms of just the eye test, you know, he just obviously the fly balls that just sail out, but he hits tank shots. He hits no doubters. I know that, you know, I get a little like romantic and over the top sometimes,
yeah.
But like, we are so lucky we get to watch this, guys. I'm serious, man. Like it's great to get to watch like any great career, Harper, Wheeler, all these things, but like Schwarber, like chicks dig the long ball, right? Like Schwarber is such a fun guy to watch with how quick the wrists are, the whole thing. Like, I really this weekend really had a real moment of appreciation as a fan. Like, sports are supposed to be fun, right? He is such a fun guy to have on our team, and I'm so excited we get to like watch this play out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we're watching what could be, he could be breaking Ryan Howard's 58 home run mark this year,
yeah,
which would be crazy. I mean, I thought that was going to stand for a long time. And last year, had he broken, I would have felt a little certain way because he wasn't signed up to be a Philly for life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But now if he does it, it'd be, I'm way more on board. I'm way more on board. And hopefully it ends in a World Series as well. He is also on pace. He's on pace to hit 60 home runs and set the single season strikeout record.
I know. But you know what? But you know, he's batting close to 260. He's like 250 something. So it's like, yeah, I know the strikeouts are there, but he's having his best average season ever as a Philly in addition to this power. So yeah, I know the strikeouts are bad, but I will definitely take the strikeouts for the, you know, 60 homers and a 250 average.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, this is one of those ones where you got to live with the strikeouts.
Yeah, yeah. I will take them. I would take that 100 times out. I don't care. Like, give them to me, you know?
256 right now. On pace for the strikeout record and on pace for 60 home runs.
So it's what a player. Unbelievable season. It really is.
And he's going to be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done, when he hits over 500 home runs.
It's really cool, man.
Yeah. I mean, he.
And credit, you know what? Let me give you a little credit here. Because when they signed him, I think you were the most excited person in this city.
Yeah.
You were, that was your, not even before they signed that offseason, you're like, go get me Kyle Schwarber. I want Kyle Schwarber. Like, you were, and he was good before he came here, but obviously is elevated.
Oh,
you
yeah.
nailed that one, dude. You nailed that.
Yeah, put that one on the old ledger, you know, for all the misses. Put that one on the old ledger. Yeah, Schwarber. Really, it was the leadership stuff more than anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And this has all just been a big old, big old cherry on top.
That's the leadership stuff too. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's turned into, he's the 2020s Big Poppy. I know Big Poppy at 300. You know,
it's a great call.
Big Poppy was a better hitter, but for what Schwarber is, what he does usually in the postseason, he's not had a great last two postseasons, but overall, he's got the fourth most postseason home runs.
Yeah, he's got 23 career postseason home runs, so yeah.
So hopefully we can add to that this year, but yeah, he's a marvel, and I think there's a little bit too much when they signed and re-signed this offseason. It was like, they just re-signed Schwarber. They just re-signed Schwarber? What do you like? It should have been more of,
thank, no, you're God, right. I was like, yeah, no, you're right. I think it was because it was like the combination of everything, but you're right. You're right. It was, He is unbelievable. Speaking of unbelievable, shame on us. I mentioned his name, but we probably went too long into the podcast to discuss the greatest catch in Phillies history. Like one of them, I don't know. Like, I mean, up there, Rowand and Rojas in the playoffs, whatever you want to do.
Can we stop with the Rowand catch?
I would take Tarik Hill over it. I agree with you. I would take Tarik Hill over
it. Of course you would. Of course you would. It would have...
Rowan broke his face. You got to give him broke a little his face credit
because the padding wasn't in.
I know
yet. It was going to be in there in a week.
I agree. It's not like it's like the most amazing catch, but the length to which he sells out to get it is admirable,
which I appreciate.
Yeah,
I appreciate.
But I agree with you. I mean, the Tarik Hill thing. Like, I honestly don't think. I think if the ball is 2 inches further, he can't get to it. He extended and jumped at the perfect time, extended as far as he possibly could and snatched it. It was unbelievable.
He flew through the air. It was because I had just come down from, I think I was helping out Walker with bedside or whatever. And I just come down the stairs and I poked my head around the wall and I saw like his arm flash over the flash over the wall. And I was like, did he catch that?
Yeah,
and then you go and you watch it a million times, and it like the one that came to mind immediately was Revere out in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
I mean that
Derek Hill's was better. Yeah,
it was way better.
Way better, and he whips it in after two, like the throw in after two, like reminds me of like the Willie Mays catch, and how he turns around and whips it in. But also, Jack, you know what? When you said the replays and stuff, I was saying this to Emily. I think there aren't that many defensive plays where every new replay you see, you're more impressed with it. Like every angle, it's like, wow, it's even further. It's almost further back than I thought. And you see another angle and you're like, oh my God, look how far off the ground he is. It's like every little aspect of it, slow motion. It's like, oh my God, look at the steps he took. Like, it's like every little bit of it gets more and more impressive when you watch it. And I think that is a really rare thing.
Yeah. I mean, he is turning into a legend, right?
Oh,
right,
dude, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He is Eric Brundtland on steroids.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of he gives off the feel of the Edmundo of the outfield.
Yeah, where sure.
There's just something where you just trust him that he's at least at the bare minimum, he's going to play a very, very good outfield. And he's already had two moments. He had, three if you count
the
catch.
He also leads the league in pinch hit home runs this year, too. He's got three.
I know, which is awesome, So, yeah, no, he is now the bat, I assume, will slow down.
Of course, yes. He has never hit in his whole. He's had, you know, not that he's ever played that much. Like, I think 150 bats for his most of the season, but he's never hit. So I don't expect him to just all of a sudden. Sorry, but I will say he has decent power for the at bats. Like he can hit some home runs.
Oh yeah, I mean, the one hit was like 450 something.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do hope that he, given what we saw at a Rinconas is just
not ready.
Insanely overmatched at this level. It's not even close. And he's too slow in the outfield for if he's not going to be launching tanks. So until Tommy Pham is ready.
How about it, by the way? It's another name. It's all these names that we've talked about so many times. It's like Tommy Pham's a Philly. Can you believe it?
Yeah, hopefully no one's there's no fantasy leagues or fantasy football issues.
I know, no slapping, all right? No slapping.
Yeah, so he's on a minor league deal. I think he's going to be up here until the trade deadline, you know? So, but yeah, until Tommy Pham is ready to go, Derek Hill should just play every day and Gabriel Rincon should not be up here. Like we're doing the roulette of, you know, Rincones and Reyes and Kemp, and all three have struck out, but at least we got the two home runs from Kemp and Reyes, or no, from Reyes and Rincones to start their careers. Those were good moments. And then squat after. But yeah, no, Rincones, it was the at bat Saturday where he was just awful. Grossly overmatched.
Overmatched is the word. Like that, when you watch him, that's the word that comes to mind.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he's got no shot up here. So we'll see what they do. But at least for the time being, just give Derek Hill some runway out there. And at worst case scenario is that you have great defense in right, left. And actually, you know, Crawford, to his credit,
he's gotten better.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a while since we've had like a pure misread out there. So even Crawford is kind of selling in both at the plate and in center field. I thought he looked pretty good. I think he looked pretty good at the plate last like two series, hitting the ball harder. Now the more opposite way, which is fine. But I think he's hitting 314 in his last 17 games, maybe, or one of those.
That's something.
Signs of life. We're just looking for signs of life.
He's 22 or whatever. 23. Yeah. He's young still.
He's fine. He's fine.
Though, I, also with Derek Hill, too, and I texted you this, like the catch was amazing. And obviously, it was like the first inning or whatever. It was early. So, like, you're like, wow, look at this. But he also just plays a damn good center field. Like, he makes good reads. He gets to balls, like, good jumps. I was impressed with him as a center fielder across the board. So, to your point, I think, look, they didn't have a guy like that. To your point, they had so, and look, we'll see if Derek Hill can keep it up, but they needed a Sosa of the outfield. I mean, Sosa has been great in that role, but they have not been able to, whether it's Kemp or any of these guys they brought up, then obviously the guys they've signed, the Merrifields and all these guys, like none of them have been able to handle it. So if you could, you know, steal a guy who can give you some big at-bats, who you can count on to maybe pop one out of the park in a pinch hit spot, who you could put in the eighth inning of a playoff game when you have a lead as a defense replacement, like those guys are valuable. It's like Johan Rojas, but he can hit a little bit. Like that's valuable. So it's exciting. One other thing I want to talk about the weekend, and then you can get to more in the take bag, but I do think we are, as a city and a fan base, I think we are we need to start recognizing Zach Wheeler more consistently here. I know we've talked about it and whatnot, but it's like, it's unbelievable what this guy is doing every time he just goes out and just handles business. And that was the one that ended the 10 game streak in Citi Field. Close game, you know, obviously that, you know, Hill helped him out, but I just, what a freaking superstar. Like, what a stud. And he is, you know, him and Mattingly, that, you know, it's right same time. That's been the turnaround. I said he should start the All-Star game the other day. I feel it strongly, but
agree.
I'm just so impressed with this guy. It's so crazy. He's Zach Wheeler. There's nothing happened.
Yeah, he's nails.
He didn't even have a blood clot. Nothing ever happened. He's just here.
Yeah. Yeah. He is, dude, he's Doc. I mean,
yeah, he's Doc. You're right.
He's Doc. Like this is what Doc did. And even like, I mean, this is like super, super nitpicky and I'm sorry, but I was thinking about it because I was thinking about Sanchi and he allowed like 4 earned runs, 5 earned runs. And you know, people predictably like, ooh, I think the start before his perfect game, Doc allowed 5 earned.
Did he?
Yeah. So like, you know, one of those things where they usually rebound, and Wheeler's had like 5 stinkers, I think, in his last 3 years.
Orioles game stands out. I remember that one. Like, but you could think about them. Like, there are only a couple of them, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the one this year, he allowed 4 home runs. That was, but even that, like, he is. We, for as much as we need to talk about appreciating Schwarber and what he's done and Harp for what he's done, I mean, this guy is the one that you just. You don't see this at 36, 37. Now I know it has happened. Scherzer, Verlander,
sure.
Like those guys have done it. They've been going back to Nolan Ryan, but
it's rare. The point is like, you can, you know, it's a short list of guys who have done this, who have been this great at this age after this long a career.
And it's just, if something's not working early, he finds some way, some other pitch that is working and he gets his way through it. The fastball just right back to what it's always been. And I think that, the thing that's really elevated him is like that split is easily the best split it's been. And the fact that he added a like a 60 grade split at age 35 is unfair. So I love him so much. Of all the guys that deserve a ring, Zach Wheeler is number
it's him one. And Harper. Yeah, it's him and Harper. Our 1 and 1A, however you want to do it. Like those two guys elevate when it comes to that.
I love him. I love him so much. So there's a lot of things, a lot of movements we got to do. First off, we have to appreciate Wheels and hopefully let him start the All-Star game. And we also have to get 3 in the All-Star game. I mean,
oh, at least.
It's so annoying.
Harper, you're saying. I thought you were saying at least 3 players. I was like,
we got to get.
Harper has to be in. I know. It's like this Dodgers voting thing is annoying, first and foremost. Like, get it.
Do we have room to complain there? I mean, no,
I know. You're right. I know. And at least they're the best team in baseball. And all. I know. It's just like, I know. You're right. Yes, that's fair. You're right. Good comeback. I got that.
I don't know if we have room to complain. Nope. It's just Harper's numbers are not better than those guys. And like, if there's one guy that I need starting the All-Star game in Philadelphia, it's not only Zach Wheeler, but it needs to be freaking Bryce Harper. Like, you can do your whole not elite nonsense all you want.
He is a superstar.
Great player having a great year.
And it's the All-Star game. It's the All-Star game.
And can I be honest with you? I believe him when he talked about his base running on Saturday. I really? That was not an annoying, for me, not an annoying Harper throw out second
base. It was less annoying than other ones, but I was definitely like, come on, man.
Was not annoying. 215-592-9494. So, yeah, we got to grow up with the Harper not in the All-Star game thing. Beyond
totally agree. Totally agree. He'll make it, but he should be starting. I totally agree with you. And I think he'll make it, but I'm with you. All right, take back in a sec. Shout out to the Misconduct Tavern. Today's show is sponsored by Miller Lite and the Misconduct Tavern on Locust Street. Been to Misconduct many times. Great spot. Yeah. Check out Misconduct Tavern for every Phillies game. Enjoy $5 Miller Lite pints and 16-ounce aluminum buckets for just $33. Enjoy their award-winning burgers and freshly shucked oysters. Miller Lights for Phil's win. Celebrate responsibly. Fritzy.
So I thought Lizardo was too cute yesterday for my liking. I thought he did a good job of staying in the strike zone. I think the thing that he's done recently is he takes like 4 miles an hour off his fastball to make sure that it's in the zone. I do think the changeup's been an equalizer for him. I am so – now this is – I'm not taking a shot at Trey. I'm just so glad that Trey play turned into an error so he gets the ERA.
I know, dude. It was wrong. Like, it felt offended that it wasn't called an error.
And Lizardo, for all of the inconsistent and, like, five-run outbursts out of nowhere that you don't even see coming, ERA is now 3.88. So,
and like, they've won a lot of his starts. Like, they win more often than not when he pitches, you know?
Yeah. No, I thought he was too cute yesterday, like, in the fifth. The Tyrone Taylor at bat was infuriating. He went back-to-back changeups after he just sped up his bat. And, you know, Tyrone Taylor was ready for it. And if you're going to make that pitch, like, throw it out of the zone. Just caught way too much of the zone. And then, again, not to make everything about how bad Brett Beatty is, but Brett Beatty is horrendous. And he has a Mo 2. And then just 59-foot sweeper, fastball in off the plate. Like, newsflash. The guy can't hit. The guy cannot hit. So just throw a strike. How they pitched the bottom of the Mets lineup with Beatty and Luis Torrens was I was gonna blow a gasket. Like not to go full boomer when it comes to pitching. And I appreciate like pitching backwards
shapes tunneling and all of it. Oh, yeah.
And you know, vertical angles and horizontal movement. But how about just bad hitter throw strikes? Yeah. How about that? When Coffin goes out there and he's covering his mouth, how about he say, hey, bad hitter throw strikes? Bad hitter throw strikes.
Well, it's the phrase that always comes to mind is like, especially in that, it's like, challenge him. Like, what are you doing here? Like, challenge that hitter. You're better than him. Just go at him. Like, I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah. So when Lizardo gets out of it, when Lizardo gets away from what's worked for him, it is just trying to chase strikeouts versus being efficient. Yeah. And when he chases strikeouts, that's when it's five innings. Now it's five innings, one run, which you take. Yeah.
But, and look, sometimes he'll have a ton of strikeouts in there too, you know? Like, he can strike guys out.
Yes, I just think that he gets in these modes of chasing it. And that's the mistake. I don't disagree. Yeah. That's the mistake. His stuff's too good to have to chase it. Alan Rondhel is a revelation.
I really like him, man. I thought he got screwed in that game.
That was a Mattingly problem too.
I agree. Yeah, I thought Rahal was good.
There was a couple things. Mattingly lets him in too long. Rinconis in right field is a disaster. The two plays that inning, and then the ball that got to the wall off of Backes was horrendous. And Bryce at first, I was surprised that ball got through. I know it was hit pretty well, but he should have knocked that ball down. He's down to like minus 10 OAA.
Yeah, tough year at defense. I mean, he's been horrible. I think the numbers seem worse than the eye test is. Yeah. But I mean, look, even Mattingly talked about it. Even Mattingly was like, he could be better out there, you know?
Yeah. Hopefully this is just laying the groundwork for the Wilson Contreras trade. Hey, Bryce.
Yeah, buddy.
Keep adding that OAA up. Let's get into more negative so we can make it more obvious that you need to go to right field. That's our only goal heading into the trade deadline. No, the Harper first base discourse does make me want to stab my
eyes out. Oh, it's so annoying. I hate it.
Well, because everyone's like, did he forget how to play first base? Like, dude, just watch the games. He's not horrendous. He can't get to every ball. He doesn't have like natural first base instincts. It's not like, I don't know. It's just the way people talk about OAA and defensive metrics without watching the games drives me up a wall.
Yeah, and we've said this so many times, and I would think most people know, like, defensive metrics are flawed. Like they haven't figured it out yet. And honestly, I don't know that it can ever truly be figured out. Like, I don't know that there are metrics that can tell you with all the variables that are in play, just how good a defender you could get idea, but they're flawed.
They are. All right. So I have to get to the minor league minute because like there's a lot of other things in there as well.
Yeah.
And so I watched Painter yesterday, which I like totally forgot he was pitching. And
so I forgot. I saw someone tweet out his stats. I had forgot it happened until I saw that.
All of a sudden, totally. I just scrambled to my computer. So overall, I thought it was a positive outing
good.
For Painter.
That is good news. Okay.
And it's important to also point out, he got blasted last year at AAA. He did not get blasted yesterday. There was one ball. There was like one ball that was hit hard, in my opinion. There was one ball that was hit hard. And it was a double, and it scored a run. So that was annoying. So I thought he was a little quicker down the mound. I thought that he was they made it more of an effort to get more explosive. I think they were trying to sync up his lower half and his upper half. I thought the fastball command was much better. Early on, the first two innings, he didn't generate much whiff on it, but the last two innings, he did generate more whiff, which was important, and I didn't really notice it cutting all as much. I thought he stayed on plane much better, but overall, like fastball command, I thought was really, really solid, which is
good.
Super, super important for him because, you know, now there was also a couple times, which was vintage Painter, where it was 1-2 or 0-2, and then you look up, it'd be 3-2, which that kind of stuff you don't want, and that's how you jack up pitch counts. So it wasn't perfect. I thought his off speed was horrible. I don't know. Wow. He lost a feel for it because that was not the case up here. You felt good every time he threw a breaking ball because you're like, well, that pitch isn't going to get blasted. So yeah, it was a positive step forward. I thought the fastball, maybe all he did in his bullpens was work on his fastball. And that's why.
Well, they might say to him, hey, dude, we want you to throw more fastballs. We want to work on the fast. Like the fastball is the key. Theoretically should be the key if you can get back to it, you know?
And I think he threw like 57% fastballs. So I think he was obviously the most pitch he threw that day. But I agree with you. I'm sure that they were like, hey, the results here don't really matter.
They don't.
Just work on some stuff. So
yeah,
I would chalk it up to he spent the last 10 days only working on his fastball. And as he continues to come back from this thing, then the off-speed will come back. Because the off-speed, I think he does have good feel for. But
yeah.
It was a positive step forward. Some other guys. Cade Obermueller just shoved. I mean, I think it was 4 innings, 8 Ks.
Wow.
Lot of swing and miss. Some base hits, for sure. But when you look at the raw whiffs and strikeouts, that stuff is really trending in a positive direction. He shouldn't be in Clearwater too much longer. I mean, they brought up Bowker and someone Marquez and Gabe Craig. You know,
do you think he's the next in the line to get brought
up? He'll be in Jersey Shore soon. I don't think they're keeping him in Clearwater to keep his numbers good and just
trade him or something.
Yeah, inflate and trade. You know, I think he's
inflate someone that, and trade. Great phrase. It's like a pump and dump. Yeah,
kind of what it is.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, it is. It is.
It's the only reason Alex McFarland's in Double A. It's crazy. This guy. 12 pitches, 9 strikes yesterday, an easy 9. Like, it's just so dumb. The Alex McFarland thing is the dumbest thing they're doing. Because he's only in Double A so that they don't give him the Triple A ball and things don't go well. Just to trade him. Where it's like, well, what if he's good now?
What if he's good and could he help you in the bullpen? Like, what are we doing, right?
Like, would I rather have... Well, Sugar, his Linsanity run might be over. But, like...
Sugar insanity, maybe a little strong with the run, but I like it. Yeah,
Sugar or Alex McFarland. Like, let's just see what Alex McFarland. Like, Sugar has options. Let him go down.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Catch his breath a little bit. He's pitched a lot. I don't know. I find what they're doing with McFarland to be infuriating. But hopefully they get something worthwhile for him in a trade. But if he goes out and they trade him, and he's immediately a high leverage reliever or a
it's
good
gonna be
reliever.
Really annoying.
It's gonna
be.
Because you finally developed the homegrown one, and then you're just going to trade him.
And they need it. Like, they would probably be trading him for another reliever, most likely, or part of a pack or whatever. So it's like, you need a reliever.
I know. Marquez struggled. He had a tough first inning and then settled in and then allowed 2 runs later into his outing. Not super cause for concern, but it wasn't Ramon Marquez, just masterclass. Gage does this thing where he allows a 2-run home run in the first inning every time out now.
The Aaron Nola, yeah.
And then he's just money after that. So
that part's not the Aaron Nola, yeah.
That's not. I actually thought it was the best his off speed has looked So that was encouraging. He's very good. There's nothing to really update there. He's a very, 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 he's probably a top five pitching prospect in baseball already.
Wow.
Smart people I follow think very, very
highly. That's legit. That's awesome. Gage.
And I do think, I said this on the afternoon show on Friday, like if they wanted to do the package of Wilson Contreras and Aroldis Chapman, I do think that Gage Wood can headline that package. Mm-hmm. And I think the Red Sox would be interested in that package.
That's good. That's good.
Now, obviously, there would have to be some things that would have to happen with Harper going to the outfield. Or if they want to get crazy, they could do a little rotation. Schwarber in left field, at least mm-hmm. twice a week.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever it takes to add that level of bat to hit behind Bryce.
Agree.
Like, Contreras and Chapman.
You're in it. You're like that, in it. You're
that's
in
about
it.
As good as you can do.
Totally, it fills your two biggest holes with two like legit dudes.
Anyone to get crazy? Put Sonny Gray in it.
Totally. Yeah, now we're getting aggressive. But yeah, Sonny Gray's been awesome. I know last night, but just in general, he's had a great year for them.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's been money and looking very old all of a sudden.
Oh well, that's what I was gonna say. I was saying to M as he was throwing the no hitter because we were watching on the second TV. I'm like, it was like after this six or whatever. I'm like. Like, this guy's like 38 years old. Like, this is awesome. Like, he's like 36, 38. He's up there, you know?
Sonny Gray for me is perpetually like 27 years old. Yeah. It's hard to grasp him being. It's like Stafford. Like, Stafford
remember
looking
was
as
a
old.
Yankees prospect back in the day, the Sonny Gray thing, remember?
Sonny Gray's not a Yankees prospect.
Wasn't he a Yankees prospect first?
Well, he was on the Yankees.
Yeah.
But he was drafted by the A's.
That's what I meant. And he was on the A's. I remember when he was an A's prospect back in the day. Yes, A's prospect. Thank you.
I think it was him and Lester on the same team. And was that 14 when they lost to the Royals? Anyway, Francisco Renteria is really starting to just hammer baseball.
He hit two home runs.
Oh, he's so important. Of all the he's the most untouchable of anyone.
Yes, yes. In the organization,
he cannot go. He is too important. But yeah, he hit two home runs this week and. Like the bat's starting to look a little quicker and all that good stuff. The other guy,
real quick, when does he turn 18? Do you know his birthday?
I'm just generally
wondering. It's not a huge deal. I just didn't know exactly like how old he was.
Yeah, I mean, I can look it up for you.
Huge deal. Yeah, if you want to, you can, but don't stress yourself. Tucker could if you want to do anything.
I'll try.
We met the 2014 A's.
Oh, nice. Good work.
Equally as important. Equally as important. No, I can't think. He was born. He was born. January 9th, 2009.
Oh, my God. Wow.
The Phillies just won
born
the
into, World Series. Yeah, I was about to say, born into a Phillies World Series world. Yeah, it's beautiful.
2009. The other guy you got to watch.
Little did he know that he was being born, he would bring them their next World Series.
I agree. Yeah. The 2031 Phillies are going to feed families. Juan Parra is the other one you got to watch down there. He is he's a little switch hitter, hit a home run. But seems like he has a really good feel for the barrel. And as he gets stronger, he is going to be like, he's a really, really exciting shortstop prospect. There's some good developments in the shortstop department to where they can trade Brian Rincon. And they're probably going to trade Brian Rincon. Because I think that he has turned himself into a prospect that could help you in a deal. Parra is one of them. And then Juan Villavicencio.
Wow, nice.
No shot I said that right.
Back-to-back Juans.
He is their shortstop at Clearwater, 21 years old. Looks like he put on some strength, started to hit the ball really, really hard. He's hit number 310 with a OPS. So he's really, really fun. So Parra and him, I think, are the two big ones from the standpoint of you feel okay moving on from Rincon because you have some others in the pipeline. And they're we'll see what they do in the draft. I'll get to the draft in a second.
Oh, buddy.
Well, and then last, like, big one, Matthew Fisher pitched very, very well for Clearwater. When I watch Matthew Fisher, it's not like right now. You can't watch him right now and project what he's going to be in 2 or 3 years. Like, the guy that he is going to develop into when he starts throwing 94 to 96, because I think it's in there because there's no reason for it not to be, like, he's going to be really good. The guy they have right now is just kind of pitching his way through it. He's 89 to 92.
He's young, really young still too, yeah.
Yeah. But when he gets stronger and that fastball goes up, the way he can spin a baseball at 18 and then to go with the fastball that he'll eventually have, he'll eventually learn a little changeup. Like, there's just a lot of pitchability in Matthew Fisher, and I really hope they don't trade him at the deadline because I think there's a very, very solid big league pitcher in there that I would like to see developed. And then quick thing, Raylan Heredia and Arun Escobar heating up at just the right time.
Yeah,
just
buddy.
The right time.
Important.
We need you for the next like
yeah.
month.
Yeah, Arun, you're important, buddy. Do it.
You guys got to have a month. Yeah. Have a month and help
us. And then
us
we
out.
Can say goodbye and then it'll be okay, you know?
Yeah. The draft is like quickly approaching.
Really quick. Yeah. Like I'm like All-Star Games approaching. You know what that means?
Yeah,
the draft's approaching, yeah.
And in real sicko hours, probably got up like 5:30, 6 yesterday. And thankfully the boys were like, you know what, Dad? We'll sleep till 7:15.
Look at that. Wow, what a win. So
just grinding draft tape on a Sunday morning, just going through as one does. And I am starting to get more excited about 64 than 36. Because I think that 36, like Rocco Maniscalco won't be there. They'll get a good player there. I just wonder if they go. I'm starting to believe they might go like under slot there and then try to float someone down to 64 and like they
try
did with
get Burkholder. Two better players. Yeah,
like Burkholder. You know, like what they did with Burkholder and Burkholder. Dude, he's starting to show some real pop, which is exciting. He had 2 home runs this week, but yeah, like I think that might unless like a Logan Redman. Is there. He's this pitcher from UCLA who had a little bit of arm fatigue, but was like 97 and 99. He's UCLA's Friday night guy. And I do think if I mentioned him last podcast, like if Tyler Spangler is there, I think they will take him. I think he's going to be there. Like I think that those guys are guys that spend big money on. A couple of guys that they follow, like Chase Brunson, I've developed into a huge fan of. But that's, again, we don't need to do the whole guys I love, guys I would like, guys that I would talk myself
into. We'll get there, yeah.
But I don't hate the idea with the options who I think are going to be there at 64, some of these high school kids, of going potentially under slot first and then spending big money at 64. And there's a couple float candidates that I think that they will be all over as well, just like Matthew Fisher. So very, very exciting stuff. And it's only going to get more sicko for the next 2 weeks.
I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. All right. 2 of 3 Pirates coming to town. I'm going Monday and Wednesday, 4. By the way. Oh, it's a 4 game series. Is it really? Why do they keep doing this to us? So you will be getting a pod on Thursday because we're not doing a July 4th pod. So it'll be another mid-series pod. But
July 4th, Saturday.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But we're not working the 3rd. So
we're not working the 3rd.
So yes, so the point is we'll probably do a pod on Thursday instead of Friday. We'll see. We'll see.
You know we'll be doing Thursday night.
It's a 12 o'clock game on Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, it's a noon game. Oh, all right. Well, let's see that then. All right. Well, either way, Thursday we're doing a pod. That's what I said. All right. Yeah. You guys are crushing me here. Yeah. Nice. I'm going Monday and Wednesday. So I'll be down at the park. Should be fun.
For any reason.
On Wednesday. So yeah, today we're doing the fantastic auction morning show thing. But Wednesday is my sister-in-law's birthday. Nice. We're going down. Families to the game. It's going to be a blast.
Well, Wednesday's Wheeler Skeens.
You don't have to tell me, pal. I know. Awesome. I can't wait.
And fireworks.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. So that'll be fun. I'm excited. And
Jared Jones versus Alan Ron Helen Thursday is equally as exciting.
Oh, maybe more exciting.
Come I on. Do love Jared Jones. They should trade
I
for
do
him.
Too. I do too. He's good. All right. So we'll be back Thursday after the game. 3 of 4? 3 of 4?
I think it's a 3 of 4 situation.
3 of 4. All right,
playing too good at baseball. Playing
I agree.
Too good of baseball.
I agree. And the Pirates they're going in different directions. So let's keep that rolling. All right. We'll be back on Thursday. Until then, spread some seltzer.